Hello and welcome to another episode of the Strange Matters podcast. Here at Strange Matters, we discuss anything bizarre, mysterious, and unexplained. I am Sean, here with my fellow host,
Ethan.
Today we're going to be talking about a really interesting topic that almost sounds like it comes from a science fiction movie. We'll be talking about the newest technology and trends dealing with replacing our natural biological body parts with synthetic or manufactured ones. This is going to include 3D printed organs, bionic limbs, and more. So, Ethan, why don't you get us started off today?
All right. So, the official term for this is called bioprinting. 3D printing has been around since the 1980s. Originally, it was used for prototypes in the manufacturing industry. But now, however, it's experiencing growth and research in both the biology and healthcare fields. When it comes to 2018, the healthcare budget is projected to be $4 billion.
So in a little, what year?
2018.
So, do you know what it is now?
No, I don't know what it is now. It's not $4
billion. No, that's pretty big.
So a little bit of how it's accomplished or how bioprinting is used. It deals with stem cells. These cells are dispensed from a printer onto a biological compatible scaffold layer by layer to create a three-dimensional viable tissue. Numerous tissues have already been constructed and have been used from transplants to clinical research. So I did a little more research, and there's been five noteworthy advances in bioprinting. The first one is blood vessels. So one of the biggest things that we've been, or limitations, however, has been building artificial organs that need blood vessels throughout, so right. So to keep them viable and living. They have created hollow tubes that allow for this transportation, which will allow for the building of thicker and more complex tissues that would otherwise fail without these vessels. The second one is heart valves. This is the only one that I've found that is just normal 3D printing, and it's not bioprinting, but still very interesting.
So it's not actual biological tissue?
This isn't living tissue that uses stem cells. This is just your run-of-the-mill.
Some kind of plastic polymer or something? Okay.
So these models are generated from a 3D printer that allows a doctor to examine in detail the innermost workings of the heart without making a single incision. This allows doctors to determine a candidate's suitability for high-risk procedures and then optimally where to place these valves when they're doing the surgery
right.
real time.
So it's kind of like a practice heart.
Mm-hmm. So that I found this just recently. They have also recently started constructing heart tissue.
Wow.
We've moved from blood vessels, heart valves, and now we're actually getting heart tissue. So
building up to actually building a human heart. Yeah.
So the third one is skin. Previously, at the University of Pittsburgh, there was this thing called a skin gun. This only sprayed a single layer of skin onto burns. Mm-hmm. It proved inefficient, or it didn't really heal the burns or help with the recovery process. So Wake Forest then did some research, and due to the advent of bioprinting, has been able to print multiple layers that is then sprayed onto deep burns and has proven to be more effective.
So that could potentially take the place of like skin grafts or
something. So you wouldn't have to have some of your skin, say, removed from like your butt or the back of your thigh to go somewhere else on your body. So
probably good, because I mean, I'm sure that you could get that to match the rest of your skin. Because a lot of times it's very obvious with the skin grafts.
Yeah. Stem cells, I mean, they can be
any type. Yeah, pretty much anything you want. So.
Yeah. Fourth one is liver cells. This leads to the creation of liver tissue. By making live human liver tissue commercially available, researchers are now able to test the effectiveness and toxicity of medication prior to clinical trials without the possibility of damaging the liver of a subject. So you don't have to use those human guinea pigs trying out different drugs. Even though it's a nice paycheck, I guess, for those people, you don't have to deal with the side effects that aren't known at the time, though.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome that you can just test something on, you know, an artificial liver and just making sure it doesn't trash it or anything before we actually start moving on to real humans.
Yeah, and this has also been able to reduce time and cost of these studies. We can't complain with decreasing or...
Of course.
No money.
Anything that cuts the cost in the healthcare is definitely a big plus.
I don't want to have to pay for all that stuff. The last one is the bionic ear. This combines cartilage tissue with electronics, kind of like a hearing aid, but it's actually, you know, viable ear.
Yeah.
That can enhance auditory sensing and radio frequency receptions. So, I think I would rather have that than normal. I mean, normal ears, you can blow out your eardrum and all that. I'm going to turn this off. So I don't have to listen to anybody around me.
You have your own little mute button or something with artificial ears.
And then this, I mean, I did this research a little while ago, and then today I actually found something really interesting. This also recently came about as in April of this year that I found. This is something else that doesn't use bioprinting, but it's just normal 3D printing.
Mm-hmm.
But this has been tracheal splints. You know, tracheal splints help with your airway, keeping it open. This actually saved 3 babies that they tried it out on.
Oh, wow.
So what they did, they used 3D printing, and it's a very small, I mean, it's a baby, so it's a very small gadget that they place in the trach to keep it open, because there's this disease that, with heavy breathing, it can kind of...
Just collapse the airway.
Yeah, collapse the airway, and then the babies die.
Yeah.
If they are able to survive to 3 years, usually they outgrow it and become strong enough, but some don't make it that long. So they figured out how to do 3D printing tracheal splints, and it only takes 1 to 2 days to construct one of these, and it's very low cost. It's at $10 per splint.
I say that's worth a baby's life.
This allowed doctors to construct several and practice placing these devices on, you know, dummies and all that before they actually move to the child itself. So practice makes perfect, and, you know, they were able to save the 3 babies.
Well, that sounds good.
That's the uses that I've seen so far. Future uses, we already have prosthetic limbs as, you know, the old rudimentary ones.
Yeah.
The old plastic thing. Yeah. So now we got bionic, and we got, you know, the old razor blades.
Yeah, I'll expand on that later on in the episode.
But could we eventually have a full prosthetic limb, like full leg or full arm of living tissue?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be talking about bionic limbs. So that's like, you know, the next step.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, yeah, we're talking about even further where we can actually generate entirely biological limbs.
Right.
That just completely were compatible with whatever body they were grafting it onto.
Yeah. And then, you know, building on that further, that's the outer workings of your body, the visible things.
Yeah.
Could you have, you know, could it replace organ transplants, you know, that usually, I mean, somebody has to die.
Yeah, yeah.
Before you could use their organs. Could we bioprint a heart, a kidney, a liver, anything?
I would say that would pretty much reduce, you know, having to wait on transplant.
Yeah,
list,
it would,
you know,
increase
as long as you can just, you know, use your own tissues and they just print out a new organ and stick it inside you. But worried about the cost here, though. I'm gonna have to assume
that would probably be a pretty penny.
Yeah. So I mean, that's something. I mean, even when it does become viable, which is probably, you know, decades away, probably.
Right.
That's probably going to be still only the very wealthy will be able to afford that right away.
Mm-hmm.
But that is pretty awesome to think about, that you can just start pretty much any body part you can think of that you need replacing. You know, just go to the doctor, they'll take a little sample of you, go back to the printer and just, you know, shoot out a new one.
Give me a month or two, I'll print out this thing for you. Now, the thing, what I just thought about, well, first I'm going to say, hey, this could lead to immortality.
Right. The one thing, because I know we've discussed this before a little bit, the thing I'm thinking about, though, is the main limitation to immortality is the brain. And so I'm thinking the last, you know, I think there's a big difference between making an artificial heart and a brain. You know, right. we still don't completely understand the brain, how it works. So it's like you could have, you know, you could be 60 or something, swap out all your organs, but then, you know, all of a sudden you're hit with dementia or something, right. or your brain just starts to go. So, I mean, as long as you can keep your brain healthy, yeah, I think you definitely, you know, every 20 years just going for a tune-up, swap out your organs and just keep on trucking along into way past 100.
I'll play my own devil's advocate on a argument that I have on against immortality.
Okay.
Later on after you do your thing. But, yeah. Let's hear what you got, Sean.
All right, that's pretty awesome. All right, so Ethan just gave you a whole bunch of stuff on real tissues and creating organs. So I'm going to be talking about mostly outside stuff. I'm talking about limbs mostly. So I'm going to be talking about bionic reconstruction, which is basically just exchanging damaged or missing biological limbs with artificial bionic replacements. So these are completely different than the regular fixed prosthetic limbs that most people are familiar with, and that these bionic limbs can actually move and articulate pretty much the same way a regular limb can. And in some ways by using motors and sensors, or others are actually operated by being controlled by the mind. So, I mean, this does kind of sound like science fiction, but in the past few years, there have been a lot of big strides in this kind of technology. So just a few examples of these kind of bionics. So one is a actual, like, an exoskeleton that goes around a person.
I think I've seen those. Yeah, it's, like, for wounded warriors and everything to help them.
Yeah, for, like, paralyzed people. So, yeah, since 2005, there's a company called ExoBionics, and they started working on this robotic exoskeleton. So each one is a custom-made, 3D-printed robotic suit, and it can help patients overcome even complete lower body paralysis.
Yeah, I think I saw a story at one point, like, I mean, he was paralyzed from a battle and all that, and, you know, he was pretty much given up on life itself, and then this company is like, hey, why don't you try this out for a while? And it was like, I forget exactly the time span that he had. Maybe I want to say 3 months of using it.
Yeah.
But after a while, he gained that muscle memory, or and he was walking.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, it wasn't what he was doing prior to war, but
I mean, it's better than not being able to move at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's what makes these things so cool. Yeah. So just like you were saying, like these bionic exoskeletons are used in rehab centers all over the world right now. And they're helping people who have lost their ability to use their legs or to walk due to a variety of conditions, having a stroke, spinal cord injury, cerebral palsy, and even traumatic brain injury. So walking in this suit is achieved by actually, like, you know, using the user's weight shifting forward, and that's going to be driving the motors and the legs to push the legs of the person and to make up for that lost brain muscle function. So yeah, I mean, just like you're saying, it's pretty awesome that these people who probably thought that they were going to be confined to a wheelchair their whole life can now experience walking upright again. And I mean, this technology is still new, but I mean, who knows where it can be for another decade. I mean, like I said, right now it's pretty much just being used in rehab centers. Like, you can't put one on and walk out in public.
No.
I think most of them are, I mean, they have like big power source. They have to be like plugged in.
Like the back to it is ridiculous.
Yeah. But I mean, at least, I mean, they have it going now. So, uh-huh. I mean, they already have the technology now. They just have to work on perfecting it, getting a better power source, and who knows, maybe these people can have these instead of wheelchairs and strap them in and go for a walk outside.
There you go. Kind of off on a tangent there. You know, couldn't these things be used in war themselves? Like, could you make them like a full-blown robot?
This was some years ago, but the first example I saw of an exoskeleton was actually like soldiers training. And so it's like they had them strapped on and they could carry, you know, 200 pounds on their back, but the entire weight was being held up by the exoskeleton. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they could carry huge machine guns and they had like stabilizers on their arms to handle that recoil. So yeah, like I said, I mean, this is like, yeah, getting almost to that science fiction, like some kind of power armor type stuff,
right.
Some kind of Master Chief going on here or something. But yeah, I mean, I think the company, yeah, I guess there's like two different directions that they're using it. The, you know, people want to either use it to help people who are paralyzed or put in the military and create new paralyzed people.
You got to make money somehow.
Yeah, whoever's going to willing to buy them. Yeah, so that's the exoskeleton. Next, I'm going to shift to bionic limbs. So this is another example that reconstruction is complete bionic limbs, such as hands or legs. So these aren't the standard fixed or rigid prosthetics. I think like we mentioned earlier, that just, you know, like the stick on your arm, it has a little hook attachment or anything. These are new bionic limbs that have machine intelligence. So we'll take about bionic legs, for example, can actually be considered a robot in and of itself. They have sensors that can detect its environment, engage the intentions of the wearer, processors that determine the angle of the carbon fiber foot as it swings forward, and helps the person walk with an almost normal gait. So a lot of the standard prosthetic legs now, they have some kind of sensor. So when you step down and put pressure on the heel, the knee locks in place so they can stand upright. And then when the weight shifts to their toes, the knee releases and allows them to swing that leg around. But, you know, if you're wearing that and you step wrong and you put pressure on your toes and that knee doesn't lock, that person's going to fall right on their face.
Well, you know, that average person falls on their face sometimes.
That's true. But yeah, I mean, like they said, these legs are very advanced, so that's not likely to happen. You know, they have force sensors and accelerometers, and they keep track of the leg's position relative to the environment and the users. I mean, it's pretty crazy what these things can do now. Onboard processors can analyze the input of the leg as it's moving at a rate of even up to 1,000 times per second. So the leg pretty much decides its best. It decides itself the best way to respond as the person's walking. So I mean, the newest upgraded models allow the knee and ankle joints to communicate with each other. You watch somebody walking with one of these upgraded models, you know, you can barely tell that they're missing a leg. It allows for a near perfect stride. So, I mean, that's really cool. That gone are the days where you just have to, you know, kind of some plastic hunk that just stuck onto your knee or something.
Pull a Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah, no, Lieutenant Dan. This is a little more advanced than Lieutenant Dan could think of.
Magic legs.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen one guy who was like a mountain climber. And he has like these modified bionic legs, and he can do things that, you know, a regular person can't do. So some people are saying like, you know, it's almost an advantage in certain areas to have these bionic legs, just because you can push yourself or put those in position. Like he can like adjust the lengths of the legs and put different attachments on it and stuff. And it's just crazy how. But yeah, so I mean, that same bionic approach can be applied to prosthetic arms also and hands. The sensors in the hands can, if you reach out, it's going to determine how hard to grasp a glass of water so you don't crush it or it doesn't fall. It pretty much, you know, exactly like a hand is, it knows how to wrap around and put the right amount of pressure on it. And even, you know, someone's falling, the hand knows how to absorb the impact of a fall. So, I mean, they're still kind of clunky in some things, but, I mean, they're making improvements every day. So, I don't think you can write with these bionic hands yet, but, I mean, they're definitely getting closer. Yeah, I've read ones, an Austrian experiment the past couple of years that three people had, they had completely damaged hands, like they were completely dysfunctional. And so they were selected for this experiment. And so they were work with them and they had their damaged hands just completely amputated and replaced with these bionic hands that are attached to their arm muscles.
Yeah.
And so they can actually, you know, move them with their mind, like if it was a real, like real hand, they're connected to the arm muscles and tendons and nerves.
Now, does it look like a robotic hand?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty.
So they haven't put like a flesh covering.
No, over? it's still cold hard metal, but it'll do for now. I mean, they look pretty cool, but yeah, pretty sci-fi looking. But like I said, I mean, it's better than just having a useless dead weight on the end of your arm.
Might as well do something with your hand. Yeah. Or, you know, I mean, I would see how it would be a tough call to cut off your hands, your very own hands.
Yeah.
But at least you get more mobility out of them with the robotic one, or the bionic.
You hear some people who, you know, if their leg is completely damaged or something, or if their arm, you know, they refuse to have it amputated. Like, they don't want to get rid of their body part. I mean, with these new advances, it might make it an easier decision than it has been in times past. But then you also have to, the cost involved, because, I mean, each of these, like I said, that mountain climber guy who had the super advanced legs, I think like each one cost like $4 million.
Cool.
So like I said, the average person isn't going to have access to these kind of things.
$4 million. What is that? That's like 1%? Is it 1% or 10% of that $4 billion budget? I can't do math right now. It's too late at the night.
Well, I mean, I'm sure the dude paid for it mostly by himself. But yeah, I mean, unless you're a millionaire or something, if you lose a limb, you're still mostly out of luck. But maybe in another decade, we'll see how the healthcare system goes in response to bionic limbs. Yeah, so I mean, the last thing I'm going to talk about is retinal implants. So recently there's been work done on developing retinal prosthesis systems, and they're more like just bionic eyes. You know, they use a tiny camera mounted on a pair of glasses that send images to a retinal implant that's inside the subject. And I mean, these bionic devices, they don't restore sight completely. You're not gonna have perfect vision, but you can, you know, distinguish, you can make out certain, you know, shapes and colors and, you know, patterns and stuff, and you can tell the difference between light and dark areas.
Uh-huh.
It's not perfect, but it's a step up.
Could they get better with, like, your typical eyewear that you would wear if you had normal eyes that were going bad, or?
I have no idea. Yeah. I don't know if you have 20/20 eyes and you get retinal implants, if you have better vision than if some guy who is legally blind. I didn't look that far into it, but, I mean, it beats being blind, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, so that's all the bionic stuff that I've been looking at recently. It's all really cool, the thing about, you know, living in this technological era right now where the impossible is becoming the possible. You know, between bioprinting and these bionic limbs, you know, not only can modern medicine extend someone's life, but has the potential to drastically improve on the condition that someone's born into.
Right, yeah.
So you said, like, the, you know, with the condition with the babies you were talking about earlier, you know, if you're born some kind of defect in a limb or something, or born with a bad organ or something, either get a bioprinted out or go to a clinic and get a bionic limb.
The problem with that is, you know, if you were born with something,
yeah,
and you're trying to get it replaced, it has to grow.
Yeah.
It has to grow with the body, which that I think that's, especially with little, you know, adults, you know, you're not going to grow anymore. So I think that's easier to, I think those would be the first things that are developed.
Right. Yeah, I guess I wasn't thinking about that. Yeah. You know, outfitting one for a kid or a teenager in a few years, their, you know, body's going to be completely different.
You got to do it all over again.
Yeah. So, yes. I mean, it's really interesting to think about, though.
Yeah. I didn't know we were going to take it to full bionic. So my argument is back to bioprinting. So yeah, it's kind of out of place. But you mentioned the brain. I'm going to take it into the cells as a discrepancy or an argument against immortality with bioprinting, or, you know, the limitations of bioprinting. Right. So we can go back to our biochemistry days, mm-hmm, and cell biology and, you know, DNA. So we know that on DNA, we have these long repeating ends,
yeah,
on each side. They're called telomeres.
Mm-hmm.
So each time a cell replicates, a little part of that telomere is cleaved off. This recent research has shown this is directly attributes to our lifespan.
Right.
So, you know, it doesn't matter. Well, it does a little bit of your lifestyle,
mm-hmm,
but, you know, as soon as that's up, your cells are done replicating and they begin to die.
Right.
And you die.
Yeah.
So, regarding the brain, you know, you can't really transplant that.
Yeah.
And then what I don't get is, now, if you generate a heart and you implant that in with fresh stem cells,
mm-hmm,
do those carry, you know, fresh long strands of DNA, or are you still have your own DNA that you were born with, and that's still ticking?
Well, I don't know. I guess if they're taking your DNA from that point in your life, I assume they'd be
They might not even take it from. I mean, a stem cell is a stem cell.
Right. That's yeah.
So they might be taking it from somebody else.
Yeah.
So, taking it to that direction, if you have things constantly done to you, at one point do you stop becoming you?
Oh, nice. That's like, what is it called? There's something where it's like, I can't remember what the paradox is called, but if you have like a ship, and, you know, every couple of years you have to replace a part or two, have to replace all these parts, And then 20 years later, there's nothing left of that original ship.
Yeah.
But is it still that the, you know, is it still the same ship?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the same thing with body parts, you know. 3 years, you take out your heart, the next year, the lungs, the liver, and all of a sudden, yeah, it's like you barely have anything that you were actually born with. Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, it's like, are you, you're completely different. I mean, I guess as long as your brain's intact, you're still the same person.
But you have the same personality.
It's like you're almost transplanted into a younger or a different body, but you still maintain your personality, hopefully.
Oh, man.
So hopefully, yeah, they don't, you know, you don't take stem cells or something from a serial killer and they get transplanted into you and you start killing people. Yeah, so I just have a few more, you know, closing topics. So I'm going to talk about all these, you know, replacing body parts and stuff. So the inevitable question that comes up when you talk about the ethics of these kind of situations is, you know, what do we do when we get so advanced that these, you know, bionics or bioprintings have potential advantages over regular human limbs or organs? Like, can you print out a heart that is, you know, twice the capacity of a regular normal heart? A super organ, if you will.
Go on here. The age-old debate between us.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. So, you make super organs or, you know, have redundant double organs transplanted into your body. You know, I mean, as long as you have the money, you can just do, you can turn yourself into a freak show and just start harvesting all these organs. Or can you, like, you know, pick and choose, you know, like, you can get the upgraded heart model for this amount of money? Or
but all right, so here we go. So double organs,
yeah,
how are you gonna make room for that? You've already come up with your set. Yeah, you're born with your original set.
I think your body will adapt a little bit. I mean,
you're going to be jamming a lot of stuff in there.
Well, like I said, you don't need to put double everything. You can put, you know, an extra lung in there, a second heart.
Where's that going?
Maybe the other... your body will adapt. You just do some chest exercises. You'll expand.
Oh, gosh. See, I'm more lenient on the more super efficient...
The super organ, yeah.
Oregon, but then you would have to replace all yours.
Yeah.
Your original. So then are you really you? And here we go again.
Yeah.
It's a never ending cycle.
I said, yeah, I mean, you just, yeah, I mean, like these thing of these rich people, you know, a few decades from now who they want to be perfect on the outside, they get plastic surgery, and they want to be perfect on the inside, you know, get most efficient hearts or something transplanted into them and all these things, and just so they become basically superhumans almost. I don't even know if that would be legal. I don't know if you can have elective surgery, like if your heart's fine, be like, no, I want a new heart anyway. You know, I want a nice young heart. Well, here's a couple million dollars.
Well, I'm sure you find the right doctor.
Yeah. Nice you go, back alley doctor.
You go down, you know, south, but you get one of those alley doctors and yeah, you pay them enough, they'll do it.
And then alongside that, what I was talking about with bionic limbs is, you know, would elective bionic replacement surgery be legal?
Right. Well, once you work out all the kinks of the things and, you become a superhuman, you're able to, like, lift 300 pounds.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
With
yeah,
the, one arm and like then you separate, just chuck it 50 feet.
Yeah, separate strongman competitions for, you know, you have the naturals and then... Well, I mean, naturals, even though they're all juice with steroids, but then you have biologics, and then you have the bionic strongmen who have, you know, robot arms and legs and stuff. You can lift twice as much.
I think that would be endless. The possibilities of developing limbs that can endure stress along those lines and then have unlimited strength.
Yeah. But anything, I mean, even if you had like a bionic limb, it has the advantage because if it breaks down, maybe you just need to go to the mechanic or something where, you know, you're not going to have to worry about tearing your ACL or ripping your muscle or anything. You know, you just
need a couple nuts tightened.
Exactly. You just get a wrench or something, fiddle around with it, and you're good to go again. You don't need to worry about the healing process that a, you know, biological body has.
Yeah.
You can push yourself 100%, you know, 24/7.
Now, what would that turn into, like sporting events,
like I said, I think you could have separate leagues where you just have, you know, bionics allowed. You have quarterbacks with bionic arms who can throw it 80 yards, no problem. I mean, like the most recent everyone probably knows, Oscar Pistorius at the Olympics, you know, the Blade Runner with his attachment legs, and people were asked saying, is that an advantage? Because,
Right.
you know, those legs, you know, are the weight of like a tennis racket, you know. So, I mean, he I don't think he won anything, or,
No, I don't
yeah, and
think
plus he turns out he's a bad person too. So,
he
we won't go there, but, I mean, yeah, people were saying, like, you know, are these bionics have advantages over anything a regular human can do?
won anything. All right.
I think that can definitely be an issue that comes up. Maybe in a few decades, whenever these things start churning out on a regular basis.
Yeah.
I mean, it's already actually a current issue because, I mean, some partial amputees are opting to have more or all of their limbs removed in order to make their replacement limbs more comfortable and easier to use. I mean, once again, these are still the old prosthetics or something. But like I said, like you'd have a damaged hand or something, and they elect to have almost their entire arm chopped off.
So
To fit
full
into one of
arm
these,
replacement.
yeah. But like I said, I mean, when we're talking about amputating healthy limbs, perfectly healthy limbs, just to exchange them for these machine-operated bionic limbs, you know, what are we gonna do when that starts coming about? That's a probably far in the future, but it's still pretty cool to think about.
Just wait till 2018 when it jumps up to
Oh
$4 billion,
yeah, here we go.
and it'll kickstart
So
then.
we're on the edge. I mean, the technology is here, but it's still primitive. But I mean, you know, we can see the direction it's going, and
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty interesting and amazing, but at the same time, I'm sure there's gonna be a whole lot of problems that come along with it also.
True that.
All right, well, that was our episode. Hopefully you enjoyed it. If you have anything to add to our discussion or any input, yeah, send us in some comments either on our website, strangematterspodcast.com, or shoot us an email at strangematterspodcast@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page if you want to check us out on there. We have a new Twitter account also. The handle is Strange Matters underscore, very new. Yeah, if you want to connect with us on social media, get in touch with us. Yeah, if you have any kind of suggestions for any episodes that you want, like once again, when we talk about anything that is bizarre, like we talked about today, or mysterious or unsolved crimes or events, you know, we're willing to discuss anything that you listeners bring to us. If you're listening to us on iTunes, please leave us a rating and a review. It really helps promote the podcast and get us new listeners. Yeah, so hopefully you enjoyed our episode, and we'll see you next time.
All right, y'all take it easy.
Bye, everybody.